watching in the United Arab Emirate. It's wonderful to have you with us. Thank you very, very much. And I'd like to know an upswing there in Iraq. It's good to have you folks with us. And London, it's wonderful to have you back with us. And I also would like to say a special word to the church that is in just outside Paris, France, in Versailles. You had sent an email request a couple of weeks ago in reference to how should Christians respond to ungrateful people. And I know that you had shared that there was some difficulty there with regard to the large influx of immigrants which had come into the area, and that there was some significant challenge there. Well, as it turns out, there were a number of other questions that had come in that were somewhat related. And for instance, was Jesus a pacifist? Or how do I ask for wisdom? Or when a church has ministry, whom should we give the ministry to? Is the scripture set up as to how we should work with people? Should we start within the church? Do we start within the family? Do we start within the community? Do we start with anyone who calls? Those are all very good questions. And so I'm sorry that it took me so long to pull this together, and I have to admit, this is one of the longer issues and answers that I have done. But because it's a total of 4 pages, just 2 front and back, if that's the way that you have to print it out, but it is available now. And so to the congregation in Versailles, you can get this at the issues and answers section. Go to the family section under issues and answers, and it's probably the first one right there. And feel free to download that. If you receive the notes already, I usually try and get them out on Thursday, then that was already included in the email that was to you. And so I hope that that's very helpful. And please feel free to share this. Let me say also to the others that have been emailing and contacting us, it's great to have it. If you have a question, if you would like me to expound on something that is contained in this particular issues and answers, I am happy to do that. You may not be watching us right now on the website, but if you go to www.graceevfreechurchva.org, that's our website, number of email contacts there. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to any member of the staff, Rob the tech guy, I think Scott's email, whomever. Reach out to us and let us know how we can help you. For example, and I'm not going to read the email here, but I would like to mention Gripen Corian. I hope I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. Thank you so much for your email that you sent to us. Thank you so much for talking about your village community, the various inhabitants that you have there, and the fact that you are doing Christian ministry in a community where it's really not well received. But you have made a request of us for 23 giant print Bibles. We are more than happy to assist you in getting those Bibles to you. Let me just ask if you could send me another email and just let me know what your address is. That would be very, very helpful to have that. And we will work very hard to make sure that we can fulfill this request. But I wanted you to know it came. Yes. Oh, and thank you very much. Also, again, I'm not quite sure where this is coming from. I don't think, clearly, this is not coming from the United States. But with respect to the Bibles, as Linda was just reminding me, if you prefer them in another language other than English, please let us know. And we will be happy to make sure that we can supply this need to you as you consider the ministry of Christ there in your particular community. Thank you so much. Very good. Taking our Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 3. Our key verses are going to be 18 through 21, which will round this out, but I'm going to start because Paul ends chapter 3 in a prayer for spiritual strength. And I'd like to just pick up at the beginning of that prayer, which is verse 14 of chapter 3, and we will read to the end of chapter 3. Paul says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father," and we talked about should person take a position in prayer and does it matter, and you can go back and you can find all those notes if you like. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love," and then we pick up with today's message, "may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, And to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all faithfulness of God. And then the last two verses, Paul prays here, now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than we are able to ask or to think, according to the power at work within us, to whom be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Join me in prayer, if you would. Our Heavenly Father, at this moment, we just come before you, knowing that those within the sound of my voice, whether they're here within the sanctuary or they're listening on the website at any time, day or night, that you have ordained such to be happening. Knowing that, Spirit, I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to open up the hearts of each one and minister to them exactly where they are at this moment, exactly the need that they have at this very moment. I ask, Spirit, that you will take the Word of God and that you will make it live to us, that you will help us to understand that this is a living Word of God, that you use it to infuse truth into our hearts and to convince us of what is right and what is wrong, and that you use it moment by moment to guide our thought life, to guard our hearts, so that, Father, we may be prepared at any time, as your scripture says, to give a testimony for the reason, for the hope that is within us. And so, Lord, right at this very moment, I just ask that the challenges that we may be thinking about, that we can put aside. The cares and concerns of the world that we may have walked in with or we may have turned our computers on with, that we can lay that aside. That we would specifically ask, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to us, make your word real, and make the application to where we are at this very moment. And we will always give you all the praise and all the glory. And all God's people said,
amen
and amen. You may remember here, as we look back on verse 14, Paul has taken us through. He's in the process of praying for the Ephesian church. He's in the process of now telling them about their victory that they have in Jesus Christ. He's in the process of praying strength for them. And he's using this as he talks about the inner man, which has been made alive by Jesus Christ, which sets us aside from those who don't know Christ, which means we have been quickened, they have not. And given the fact that we have been quickened by the Holy Spirit of God, Paul begins to move forward that we be strengthened by his Holy Spirit, abiding in Christ moment by moment, and then he takes us to verse 18. Let's just go back and reread that very quickly. May have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. And what he's talking about here is you take the English word to comprehend, and you take the word to apprehend, and they both come from the same Latin word, and it literally means to grasp. And it has two meanings here, one leading to another. The first one is we realize something. There is something there. We know something. We acknowledge something. But secondly, the scripture word has a second meaning, and it means not only do we realize there's something there, but that we have laid hold of it for ourselves. We've laid hold of it for ourselves. I cannot tell you this morning how many people are sitting in churches, not only here in America, but around the world, and while they're in church, they do not know Christ. Wasn't it Billy Graham who said the greatest mission field in the world is within the church? You see, that's a perfect example of what Paul's talking about here. They understand that there is something unique here, that there's something that I can put my hands on, that there's something that is well-defined, but they have not personally taken it and put it in their own life, into their own heart. Now, he's telling the Ephesian church, that is not the case with you. You know Christ, and because you know Christ, you have the Spirit of God. Your inner man has been quickened. Therefore, this is a real and living book in that this defines what is right and what is wrong. I'll be honest with you. And I've often felt, boy, the Christian life is such a challenge. Not really. I think we get off track when we try and we look ahead too far. I think that's when we get off track. And especially, okay, let's just say here in the continental U.S., as we look at our political situation and we look at it through the eyes of Scripture, we look at it through our Christian background, we look at it because we belong to Christ, it often seems overwhelming. It often seems so wrong. It often seems almost depressing because it's like telling a child that they're getting ready to do something and you know it's the last thing they should do. You know it's not something that they should be participating in, right? And it can be almost overwhelming and it can be almost frustrating. But here's the key that Paul's calling us to. No, I said, Paul says, I don't want you to keep looking forward. We do look forward with Christ. We know that Christ is going to be there already. We know that Christ already understands the circumstances. But you see, you're not Christ. You do have the Holy Spirit living within you, and here's the only challenge that we are given with that. That is to say, we live moment by moment. We live decision by decision. We live day by day. And in the midst of our walk, this is why the Bible says we have a Christian walk. We're not running. We're not looking super far into the future. We are doing what we have been called to do at this very moment. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think I shared last week that I have a doctor who said I have to lose 40 pounds. I'm not thrilled with that prospect. And I'm telling you, it looks daunting. I mean, 40 pounds, that's a lot, I think. It's going to take a lot of work. And if I can sit down and I'm thinking about 40 pounds, I'm thinking about how hard it is, I'm thinking about, you know what, I'm never going to lose it because it's so overwhelming. I don't even know where to get started. But here's the thing, because I was in a couple of stores yesterday, and you know in the aisles of the stores, they put the candy bars on this side,
right?
And I'm thinking, my wife will never know. And then I'm thinking, you know what? It begins with the first decision that I'm not going to buy and consume the candy bar. Now, that may not seem a big deal in relation to 40 pounds, but when you begin to think about the calorie count on that thing and how long you're going to have to stay on that bicycle to get rid of the calories that you just took in, all of a sudden, I'm strengthened in the moment, and the cashier goes, "Is that all, sir?" "Yes, that's all." Because knowing the way things go at my house, my wife will see the receipt and she'll know immediately I bought the candy bar. Here's the point Paul says. We're called to live moment by moment. God will take care of the future. The future is not your worry or concern. Our challenge is to live within the moment, to make the decisions that align with this word, so that as we live righteously, Christ propels us forward. First of all, sustaining us in the middle of any kind of issue, and we may not have any issue at all. But as we are sustained and as we are moving forward, he strengthens the inner man to the point that when the challenges present themselves, we don't panic, we don't throw our hands up, we don't give up, we don't walk out of church, we don't do any of that crazy stuff. We stop and we immediately turn it over to Christ. And we say, Lord, what is your will in this situation? That's the kind of strength that Paul is praying for the Ephesian church. Now, why would he pray for that? Because he knows, well, again, as we talked about, as they do a wonderful job within their four-walled reality, it's time to move out into the Ephesian byways and streets and homes and little communities and minister the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, verse 18 is all about comprehending the work of God in your life. Moving to verse 19. This is where Paul picks up the theme of a victorious life. To realize that God's love and laying hold of it results in God's fullness. And it's the pursuit of this, and I want to go, Paul also commented to the Philippian church on this, and I want to read this. It's just a couple of verses, but the last phrase is the real key. Listen to what Paul talks about to the Philippians about a victorious life. He says, beginning in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. That should be very helpful to you, because I know some Christians that go, I'm such a terrible Christian. You're not the first to realize that perhaps in one way or another, you haven't quite measured up to what Christ would have had you done in the moment. Does that mean you chuck your relationship with Christ? Absolutely not. Because Paul opens here and says, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect. None of us are perfect, but we are forgiven. Right? So with that in mind, he says, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Now, this is key for a lot of Christians who are stymied in their spiritual life. Forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind. I appreciate the testimonies of those who are famous. I really do. But I'll be honest with you, I think sometimes we glory a little too much in their past sin. And I know that they give their testimony to demonstrate what God has done for them and how God has forgiven them, even in the midst of some of the tragic stuff that they have been involved in. But I want to be very clear here. We have a tendency sometimes to look back on our lives or to take inventory of our lives, and we just kind of go, I'm just so bad. I'm just so not what the Bible says I should be. And you have a tendency at that point to just kind of give up. To just kind of say, either I'm not worthy, or I don't have the strength, or if anyone ever found out about me, my ministry would be over, whatever it might be. And Paul is saying here with this one phrase, forgetting what lies behind. You, if you have confessed it, you are forgiven. And I'll be honest with you, I find some people that take their past life and they make it an excuse for not moving ahead with what Christ has called them to be and what Christ has called them to do. And we all know people like that. Forgetting what lies behind, instead, Paul says, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal. Now, here's the whole point of it. To the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Only there do we find victory. If our goal is to know God, his love pouring in us and through us, it puts life into perspective. And what I've done is I've taken Philippians 3 and I've broken it down into 6 points. And I want to go over them because this is absolutely critical. Paul says, literally, I don't have what it takes, but Christ does. I belong to Christ, therefore I press on. I lay aside every weight, including my past sin. I keep my eyes fixed on the future with God. I pursue that future moment by moment. Finally, God shall see his will done in my life, and I will die fulfilled. I want you to understand that the fulfillment of Christ in your life cannot happen until you surrender to him and you do what he's called you to do. It cannot happen. Verse 18, comprehend this. Verse 19, here's the true victory in life, and that brings us to verse 20, our key verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. There's four key words that we want to take a look at here. Number one is able. Now unto him that is able, and that is to say power by one's own ability. Power by one's own ability. Now in order to understand what Abel actually is referencing to, we have to go back to the third word of this verse. Now unto him. And who is he talking about? He's talking about God. So here's the key that comes with this concept of being able. You are not able to accomplish God's will in your life. You are not. He is able to accomplish it through you. That should do two things for you. First of all, it should lift this huge burden about how you have to feel like you're living for God. Because if you know Christ is your personal Savior, it should be just as natural as it comes. Because remember, you're not called to think about next Sunday, next year, or when I talk to college kids, they're what am I supposed to major in because it's going to set the pace for my entire life? Well, not really. We're called to live moment by moment. Realizing the Holy Spirit has infused us is closer than our very breath. And as we make the correct decision, moment by moment, God is leading us one step at a time to his fulfillment. So here it is. Now unto him. And it's not your responsibility. It's his responsibility. Our responsibility is to be open to him. Our responsibility is to lay bare our lives. Our responsibility is to, in prayer, respectfully ask, what can I do for you today, Lord? Open my eyes as situations come around. Help me to see beyond what other people see in circumstances, knowing that not only are you aware of the circumstance, you are already ahead of the circumstance. You have already answered it. I am merely following up on the opportunity that's presenting itself. You see how God works? So Paul says, now unto him, and it's all about God. Unto him that is able, now here's the second word, to do exceedingly. Exceedingly. That is to say, infinitely more. Infinitely more. Those who are watching this sermon right now, you have no idea the conversation that we had before you're watching this sermon, unless you were watching live. Part of the infinitely more is this. I mean, we're a church in Stroudsburg, Virginia, a little nestled community in the Shenandoah area. Some would consider it rural. And yet the reports that we get are coming in from the United Arab Emirates, multiple viewers in Iraq, those in London have checked back in with us. We have had ongoing conversations through video with the a church in Versailles, France. We have answered their question as to, from an issues and answers perspective, how do we deal with ungrateful people? We have also answered a number of other emails that have come in. Let me ask you, who in the world would have thought a church nestled in the Shenandoah Valley would have that kind of an outreach? Right? Paul says you need to understand that as you are faithful, God will do exceedingly more. Because faithfulness is what God uses to multiply every effort that we put forward. Every dollar, every penny. In fact, I see a penny in the plate right there. Every penny that comes in here, God has multiplied it to the point that thousands of people are watching. I cannot tell you the downloads that are going on in the issues and answers section. I think we're well over 2,000. I don't know what it is about bulletins. You all love bulletins. You've been downloading bulletins by the hundreds. And that's fine. I assume, you know, you like our bulletin. That Linda did a wonderful job in getting new bulletins for us. There's a message from the pastor in there. We're pretty open about the bulletin. We tell you how much. We're pretty open, pretty transparent, as it should be. Really? A small church nestled in the Shenandoah Valley. Paul knew exactly what he was talking about. There's a third word. It comes immediately after exceedingly. It is abundantly. And it means this over and above. Over and above. And then finally, the last word, power. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And what that literally has a dual meaning. It means strength and ability. And remember, we're talking about the inner man here. We're talking about that has been quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. We're talking about that cannot be accomplished with the outer man, cannot be accomplished in the flesh. And I want to tell you, it keeps you humble. Because if we could do this stuff, if your pastor could do this stuff, you have the most conceited pastor in the Shenandoah Valley, right? And I happen to know your pastor cannot do all this stuff. Your pastor is not equipped to do all this stuff. Your pastor is only following the direction of the Spirit of God, to which has been confirmed with this congregation as we came together to represent Christ in any way that he's called us to do. And then he led us into this streaming stuff. In fact, one of the larger groups that watches is right here in Strasbourg. I wish you all would come just to say hi. That'd be fine. You don't have to give anything, just come. But you see, God has taken us and he's infused us through the Spirit of God with one purpose, one mission. And together, we are putting the gospel forward to the point that those who are in lands that absolutely are antithetical to the message of Christ are receiving it. And not only that, responding to it. We take those four words and let's put it in the literal application, which is right here in your notes. Now, unto the one, referring, Paul is always referring to God, never referring to himself. Now, unto the one, that is God, who by his own ability to do infinitely more, over and above all that we ask for ourselves or even comprehend, according to his strength and ability, which is working in us. Every word of that verse, except the last two, is about God. Did you notice that? We're the postscript. In us. Alistair Begg says we're merely funnels. This is Christ's word, Christ's mission, quickened our inner spirit, Holy Spirit at work. We merely do what he's called us to do. We merely preach what he's called us to preach, and we allow the Holy Spirit of God to do with it as he wills. When I drive to church every Sunday morning, it's a fairly quiet drive. I like that. I don't get that opportunity very often. Not too many people in the room the time I'm coming to church. It gives me the opportunity to really have measured prayer. And I pray for each one that's coming. I've got the prayer list beside me, which is prayed for all week. But my number one prayer is this. Holy Spirit, take today's word and make the application to all the hearts that you will have listening to it, whether it be live or whether it be by record. Whatever it be, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Verse 20 is all about what I call, if you have your notes there, the abundant life. We cannot comprehend the import of this verse until we remind ourselves from where we came. And Paul's doing this. Remember back in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul said this. And this is where you were. If you know Christ, you will understand this. If you don't know Christ, this is where you are. Just back one chapter, he says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work. Now catch this last phrase, in the sons of disobedience. If you do not know Christ, you are walking in disobedience. If you do not know Christ, that is why cheating on your taxes is not a problem. Cheating on your wife, cheating on your husband is not a problem. Cheating on anything is not a problem. Because you're walking, it says right here in Ephesians chapter 2, you're walking according and following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Now, to be perfectly clear, once we were all energized by Satan, but now we're energized by God. We have flipped our citizenship. We have gotten new papers. As a matter of fact, we have gotten an entirely new heart, because the ministry of the Spirit begins in the heart, which changes the mind, which changes our actions and reactions. And this is how I know, if someone tells me that they're a follower of Christ, the one thing that we are legitimately to look for is, how do they talk? How do they walk? What do they do? What do they suggest? Where do they hang out? All of those demonstrate to me outwardly your inward relationship with Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't add up, I have to call a halt to the whole thing. The exertion of God's power through us will accomplish for the kingdom of God more than we can receive. And I remember Paul Harvey, and he used to have that line, here's the rest of the story. I want to give you the rest of the story. We just read in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, those that walk in the sons of disobedience according to the prince of the power of the air, which is the satanic plan. And he immediately in verse 4 says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result in works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk, therefore, in them. The victorious life, the abundant life, is lived moment by moment. That just leaves one verse here. It's going to be verse 21. Remember verse 18, we talked about comprehension. In verse 19, we're talking about the victorious life. In verse 20, we're talking about the abundant life. And now he wraps it up here in verse 21. Let me read it for you. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Now catch this. Throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 1 Chronicles 16 says this, ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to him, the Lord, the glory that is due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. In this verse here in verse 21, we see two actions on our part that make up the action of glorifying God. And the first thing is we are to ascribe, or we are to give him glory, because it is due him. It is due to no one else. No one else deserves the praise and the worship that we glorify to him. Isaiah 42:8 confirms this. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give glory to another or praise to idols. Now, what does that mean? That means, Christian, you need to understand that when things work out, you shouldn't pat yourself on the back. Oh, I was clever. Or how about this? Well, that was lucky. Or that was a coincidence. None of that would be true. Because the scripture says that the steps of the righteous are ordained of God. Which is to say, when I get up, he's there. As I'm driving in, and I almost had this accident. I was coming home Friday from one of our facilities, and I don't really understand why the lady did what she did. There were two lanes turning left, two lanes going straight. And it was odd that this one lane that was going to go straight was completely open. And so what I did was, I got in that lane, and I took off. You don't get that opportunity very often. Two lanes going left. I'm in the one going straight. For some reason, the lady in this lane decides she wants to go straight. But she's in the left turn lane. But I'm back there, no one in front of me, which is so unusual. And I'm like, bam, I shoot forward. And here's how we ended up. Side by side. I mean, our mirrors couldn't have been that far apart. And I didn't even really have time to honk my horn. I would have loved to have honked my horn. You know. But I'll be honest with you. I'm hanging on for dear life. Because I'm thinking, this doesn't look right. And I'm gunning ahead. So I did what the professionals tell you to do. Just get through it. Just drive through it. That's what they teach you to do. Not that I'm bright enough to remember that at the time. And all of a sudden, I could see out of the corner of my eye the shock in the driver's face as we were side by side. And all of a sudden, I saw her hit her brakes and she just shuddered behind me. And I know that she was shaken because she stayed a good portion behind. She did not catch up with me. I think she realized, right? Oh, Tony, you're such a good driver. Have you seen my car? I'm not a good driver. But I serve a living Savior.
He had your hand.
Who knew that that situation was going to happen? And who at that very moment guided my thought life to the point, don't bother wasting time to take your right hand off the wheel and hit the horn. As much as you would like to do that, what I need you to do is just drive quicker to get past it so you don't bang into one another. And that's exactly what happened. You say, Pastor, does he really guide you on the road like that? Absolutely. I could show you, I've gotten on that same highway, and there was a sign in the middle of the road. It was lying down. It was flat. I've got pictures of it on my phone. My boss wasn't impressed, but I showed it to her anyway. I was in this lane, and this big old semi-truck was coming this way, and that sign was there, and I knew he was going to run over the sign, and I thought, this isn't going to be good. That's all I had time to think. He ran over the sign, literally picked up that sign, and it went impaled itself right in my left front bumper. And I got this great big orange sign hanging on the front of my car, and there's no exit. And I'm still driving. I must have looked like a crazy person. And I'm thinking of nothing else. I got to get out of here and pull that sign out of my car because I'm so embarrassed. Until my friend pointed out, because I have pictures of it, my friend pointed out, Tony, do you know if that sign had been 6 inches higher? Right through the windshield. Right to where you were. We serve a living Savior. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit of God, which watches over us moment by moment. Nothing is going to overtake you that God is not going to help you walk through. Paul makes this point here. And so here's the point. I'm not that good a driver. Ask my wife. But God's that good a Savior. And I, you know what? You get past that. Most people, if you don't know Christ, if you're not quickened, you would have a blue streak going in the car. You'd be hitting your brakes. You'd be trying for that person to catch up with you. You're going to get your pound of flesh, right? I'm just like, thank you, Lord, keep driving. Thank you, Lord, keep driving. Second point Paul's making in this verse is to bring an offering. And that what he means by this is to God as part that glorifies him. What's the offering? Here's the offering. Agreement, obedience, submission. Agreement, obedience, submission. I agree, Father. You got me through that entire thing. I'm going to be obedient to you, Lord. I'm not going to take out any kind of, I'm not going to use language I shouldn't use. I'm not going to have an attitude I shouldn't have. And I am going to submit to you in that if she were to catch up with me, I would just wave and go, that was close. Right? So Paul ends this chapter. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The last point in this I want to make is all generations. It's not in your notes. Be very careful. Because in your walk, moment by moment, others are watching. Others are watching. I could have made a big deal out of that almost traffic accident. And if I had made that kind of a big deal, given the fact that I work in that area, 9 times out of 10, some people who knew me would have been going by going, and he's a pastor? And he represents Christ? Yeah. Or in telling that story with my 10-year-old granddaughter sitting there at the table, be so careful because it says teaching all generations. Poppy, weren't you scared? Honey, I didn't have time to be scared. I just had time to react, and the Lord took me through it. But here's the number one thing that I did do. Instead of thinking what I'd like to say to her or the actions that I'd like to take against her, you know, people hit their brakes, they catch up with them. They really want to make a point that, you know, thank you, Lord, for getting me through that. The last thing I needed right now was my entire car sideswiped. Thank you, Lord. Agreement, obedience, submission. Paul says to the Ephesians, this is how you gain victory in Christ. So in conclusion, let's wrap up chapter 3. Where are we with this then? Well, Jesus confirmed glorifying and loving God are the same thing. Remember back in John 14:15? Jesus himself said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. So let me ask you, do you love God? Living as you should? Playing as you should? God knows. And so do you. So in this moment, Christian, giving praise, surrender afresh or anew, and know his love. Our Father, we are so grateful for your word. We're grateful that others have already walked where we've been, including you, O Jesus. You understand the trials and tribulations. You've given us your Holy Spirit so that moment by moment, we're never alone. We always have access to you, and you're always leading, guiding, and directing. I pray for those that don't know you. And if you don't know Christ, here's what you say, Pastor, I don't have a relationship like that, but I desperately need it. That's the Holy Spirit wooing you into Christ. The only thing you have to do is surrender yourself. Say, dear Lord, I am a sinner. I ask forgiveness now. I ask you to come into my heart, to cleanse me from my sin. Based upon your shed blood, your innocent shed blood, wash me white as snow. Take control of my life. Live through me from now and forevermore. Then, Christian, if you know, and others may know, you have not lived as you should. You have not lived up to the calling of Christ that Paul talks about. This day is a new day. It's a fresh day. I would encourage you to pray what we have all prayed at one time or another. Dear Lord, forgive me. I put you back in control of my life. I ask forgiveness for having taken the reins. I surrender to you that I too may understand this abundant life that's based on obedience and surrender to you. And it's in Christ's name, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Good to see everyone today. Thank you ever so much. Do be in prayer. Getting in a lot of email traffic, which is good. Just be in prayer that some of the questions are difficult and some of the questions are so heartfelt. And you can tell people are really suffering, not necessarily persecution, but really personally suffering. And it's a challenge when you can't look them in the eye or put your hand on their shoulder or or give them a hug or whatever they may need. But yet we have the word. And we have